As Pastor Chris and Holland prepare for today's lesson, let's pray together our prayer of illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds and lead us into your truth, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our first lesson today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. And Holland is going to help me read part of this one today. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist.
The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion, and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed the bear, the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the pool of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper. They will neither harm nor destroy all on all my golden mountains, but the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as
in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Thanks, Holland. And our second lesson, do you want to step down? Our second lesson comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, reading in chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praises to him, all you peoples. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. I invite the children to come forward for a children's message. Good listening, Danny.
We're coming.
All right. Why don't you guys stand up here around the... Come on up, buds. Here. Everybody can stand up. and look at me.
Okay, we're looking.
Come look at the candles here. All right? Don't blow them out. We need them for heat. How many purple and pink candles do you see here?
I see one pink candle, three purple, and one of this one because that's Christmas.
Very good.
So
okay.
And that's when Jesus was born.
Okay.
So that's why it has a star on it, and it's white, and it's the biggest.
That's right. Very good. So each one of these colored candles represents another week in the season of Advent. Now, were you listening at the beginning of the service today? That's the lighter. Were you guys listening at the beginning of the service today?
I was.
Do you remember what we said when Mr. Rich and Mr. Bob lit the candles? We said Advent means something. What does it mean?
The days of
Christmas. No, not quite.
Oh,
it means coming. Can you say that with me? Advent means coming. That's right. Stop. No ring around the rosy here, guys. So Advent means coming. Stop. Stop. Listen up. Listen up. And today the candle is for what? What word?
God.
Not God. The word is for peace. Can you see that banner over there? So each one of these candles represents a certain thing. Peace, hope, love, and joy.
Peace, and then love, peace, hope, love, joy.
And then when we get to Christmas Eve, we will light the candle for Jesus. Very good. So this is all about us getting excited for Christmas, right? And I can tell that you guys are excited. So let's pray together, all right? Can you fold your hands? Close your eyes. Stand still. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the peace that you give to us in our lives, and we pray that you would give us this gift always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you guys can go back to your seats.
Will these numbers go up when you light up?
They will eventually, yes. That's a good question. All right, go back and sit down, sweetheart. Go ahead. Be a good listener.
No.
Okay, you guys go sit down.
Don't say you'll touch the elf.
It's my turn to talk. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Who knows that word? What is it? Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. Peace. Okay, good. Whoops. Hello? All right, okay. What language is that? It's Hebrew. Very good, very good. So we often translate this as peace, although it can be a greeting as well. So I want to dive into the Old Testament's concept of peace as Isaiah is describing it to us. I love the poetry of this, by the way. My daughter Holland, who helped to read the scripture today, loves animals. But if there's one thing that we know about animals, it's that they follow instincts, right?
Right.
They're extinct. We're talking about instincts here. So, when a lion meets a calf, they don't lie down together. The lion eats the calf. When the wolf and the lamb come together, they don't live together in harmony. The wolf eats the lamb. When the infant plays over the cobra's nest, The cobra doesn't cuddle up to the infant. The cobra bites. It's what they do. It's instinct. So what is this? What is this? This image of peace. We have to go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The first man and the first woman, they tend the garden and they care for it. And one of the things that we know about the garden from the account in Genesis 2 and 3 is that the people did not kill the animals for their food and for clothing. They eat what? The trees, the fruit from the trees in the garden. They're called to name the animals, to care for the animals. But when they sin, when they disobey God, and they are expelled from the garden, then they trade in the fig leaves that they had sewn together for clothing, and they put on what instead? Animal skins. And how did they get the animal skins? God. God gave it to them. They're not meant to have to kill the animals to care for things, but it's a result of their disobedience, that sin enters the world and this destructiveness begins. Another chapter later, Adam and Eve's offspring, Cain and Abel, in a fit of jealousy, Cain kills Abel. And when God asks Cain where his brother is, what does he say? Am I my brother's keeper? You know, when siblings are trying to kill each other at home, which does happen, believe it or not, and you have to intervene, siblings fight. Humans fight with each other. And believe me, by the time we get to the prophet Isaiah, the people know fighting. They know war. If you were to go back and read from the book of Joshua all the way through the end of 2 Kings, which tells basically one sweeping story of the people after they flee Egypt and assert themselves as a military power in the area and then are conquered by other armies, they try to get peace for themselves. That's all they want, is peace. But they go about it through war. Abraham, when he is called by God as a nomad wandering the world, he is called blessed, but in order that he might be a blessing to the nations, in order that he might spread all the truth about who God is to the other nations. But his offspring have a great way of doing that. They kill the other nations and then populate their land, and that is how they go about blessing the nations. Now, lest we look down on those savage people, we need not tell the story of Christianity and how it did the exact same thing all throughout the so-called Middle Ages, conquering, defeating, destroying, at the end of a sword, carrying the banner of Jesus Christ. Our impulses, our instincts, because of our sinful nature, is to bring about peace by fighting and defeating the other person. And that's what we call peacemaking. Right? Anytime we have military ventures, we call them peacemaking or peacekeeping missions. It's curious. So when we use that word peace, we need some help in scrubbing it up to understand what God means when God is talking about peace. This reversal of the sin of Adam and Eve. The wolf and the lamb living together. The lion and the calf lying down together. The little child playing over the nest of the viper. None shall harm or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. And how does this come about? How does this idyllic image of the return to Eden come about? Very good. Right. Through the coming Messiah, the first part of that chapter. Through the coming of who we understand to be the person of Jesus Christ. So the question then is, Jesus came. Jesus taught his disciples a different way. If we fast forward to the end of Jesus' story in the Bible, we have Peter grabbing a sword that he took with him from the Last Supper and slicing off the ear of the servant of the soldier that is arresting him. And Jesus, after healing the ear, tells Peter, there's a different way. There's a better way. The way of Jesus is a way of diving deep into what it means to explore the depths of the love of God. And the Apostle Paul, writing in Romans, talks about this very thing. He talks about the peace that people have with one another, regardless of what their background is, regardless of what their socioeconomic status is, regardless of what their cultural heritage might be. The church in Rome is a very diverse gathering of people. Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, men and women. And then elsewhere in Paul's letters, he writes, in Christ, there are none of those distinctions. All of the ways that we keep score of hierarchies are wiped away. All of the fighting that we do over who's right and who's wrong, who's righteous and who's unrighteous, Christ wipes all of that away in this image of shalom. It's a wonderful image from the prophet Isaiah. It's a wonderful image that Jesus gives us in the Gospels. It's a wonderful image that's actually picked up by John in the book of Revelation when lion and lamb come together as one. In who? In the person of Jesus Christ. And so today, we lean into this candle of peace, and we look at the world that we live in, and we see that overall we're still unable to live this way. Sin has continued to stain our world and has continued to divide peoples, has continued to divide the people of God, has continued to divide the church. And so in Advent, we long for and we hope for the day when Christ's return finally ushers in the peace that we long for, the peace that we strive for, the peace that we hope for. And so in this way too, Advent is not just about preparing ourselves to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, but it's preparing and hoping for the peace that will come when Christ returns, as he promised. And so we live in this tense world of already and not yet. Christ came announcing the kingdom of God is near. John the Baptist does the same. He comes announcing a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins, ushering in when Jesus will come and baptize with water and with Spirit, changed lives, changed outlooks. And so we recognize signs of the kingdom around us in the already, and yet we recognize things are still not as they should be. And so, my friends, let us hope in the Lord, pray fervently for the Spirit to do the work of peace in our world, even as we work and strive for that same peace, setting aside the differences that we have with one another, setting aside the differences that we have with coworkers and family members and people from across the aisle politically from us. Watching Fox News and MSNBC, and then turning them both off and just relaxing in peace. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Most holy God, we do pray for this peace. We recognize that our country, our world, is really divided and feels really broken most of the time. And you are our only hope for that to change. So, Lord, just as last week we prayed for a time when swords would be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, so we today pray for a day when cats and dogs will live together in harmony, wolves, lambs living together, lions and calves lying down together. Democrats, Republicans, independents, Christians, Jews, Muslims, men, women, children, all peoples finally living together in shalom. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith? The words of the Apostles' Creed. People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.